When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1001 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by James Dean Rader to my right. To the north, Ben Funky Askren. And to my west,
Tyler. West?
Yeah, it's,
I'm just, don't get your own personal east.
No,
west.
I'm going directly
south, too.
Honestly, I'm going directional moving forward. I'm not even going to say. Yeah, I just like that. You're okay. To the west.
I think Raiders to your north. Just that's
no,
just my own.
No, he says I am to the north and Tyler's to the south.
Yes.
He's
yeah.
No, you're wrong. South is this way. If you're actually gonna get technical, you can just be wrong. This way is south.
No, that way is north.
Wrong.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Dang it. We're all boycotting speaking until you say I was wrong.
I was so wrong. Okay. But not about not about that. Something unrelated.
Well, I can clip that for whatever I want to use.
I was so wrong. Okay. What the heck? 1001. That's different now.
That feels weird. I saw that in my email last night, and I'm like, oh, that's so weird.
I don't want, JD, I want you to not put the commas in the show doc for search purposes. No commas.
Okay.
This is commas.
Well, really? Will that affect it?
It's huge.
It will affect the search function.
This could change everything, Ben. I'm making big moves in 2024, if you can't tell.
Okay.
They don't include commas.
No commas. Okay, where do we want to start today? I hope everyone had a good weekend. Ben?
Talk about FRL 1000 a little bit.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about with that?
How was it for you guys?
So this is Tyler just fishing for more compliments, of which I have already given him several.
No.
Including...
I heard it, Tyler.
Big ego, Tyler.
One during the show, one afterwards. He's like, hey, how about the great job I did?
No, I
start
did not
this show.
Say that.
Well, that's like, what you
listen,
did.
He did do a great job. He did do a great job. Yeah. So many clips.
Yeah, so many clips.
We have. I don't know if in the future we should pull up more of those Sion clips because I did. I had there was like 12 we didn't.
100%. I should have kept that menu
that
because
so
they probably don't have it available for this show. But
next time,
yeah. Oh, he says he does have them available.
Okay, I don't have the numbers though.
I'll pull them up. Maybe we can pull one later in the show.
Yeah.
But it was a great. You guys thought it was fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I was stunned with how fast it went. I felt like every guest just came on by the time Tyler was sort of rudely shooing them off the show. Willie, how long was he on? 30?
20 minutes.
Oh, it was just 20 minutes?
20,
okay.
Yeah, 25. Yeah.
Okay.
He came on a little early.
Even that felt fast.
We had time for him. But yeah, I was what were you going to say, Ben?
I thought it was great. I thought it was so much fun. I know I saw this in a few comments, but I thought, you know, and I'm not going to be on the show anymore, but maybe for something like this, I would come in. Like, you could do it every, say, like 250 episodes or 200 episodes or something like that, where you do kind of like a big in studio show and, you know, have a bunch of guests on.
Yeah, I think one thing, if we need to do a better job of just kind of archiving the moments a little better instead of making it a several week long project for Tyler, although we need to find something to fill his time.
Yeah.
So perhaps we
nothing to do.
Perhaps we just do a bad job of that, just so he has something to do as we approach milestone episodes. But yeah, no, for sure, there definitely were so many funny episodes and moments over the year, and you forget a lot of them. I forgot about. So it's been great.
I want to tell a story. When I was in charge of reaching out to the guests to get them on the show.
I know where this is.
And Christian let Chael know that I was going to text him. I texted Chael. You know, I grew up watching. I wasn't a huge MMA fan. I know who Chael Sonnen is. I have for a long time, right? nervous texting this man. I text him. I ask him if he'd be willing, open to doing a 15 to 20 minute spot on FRL 1000. And Chale sends me, he texts, he doesn't text in one message at a time. He texts in like 4 or 5 messages at once.
That's that machine gun thoughts. Machine gun mindset, yeah. Bo Bassett style.
And he immediately just starts going off about how 15 minutes is not enough for a man of his stature and how he needs gangster time.
He got gangster time.
He said gangster time. He spelled it G, like all caps, gangster, but like vertically. Like he hit return every time he used another letter. So it was like gangster and then time. Oh, and so I cleared the schedule for him, and I was nervous because we did hit. I was thinking maybe he always hangs up on you guys.
Yeah.
Every single time. So I was like, maybe we won't run into that issue. Maybe he'll hang up on us. But then we hit the 40-minute mark, and I was like, oh no, I have to kick Chale. I was really nervous what he was going to say when I had to kick him off. But he was really nice. So.
Yeah, but he always does this. He always does this gimmick, Chale, when it's about time to go, but you don't actually say it. He does have a weird ability to sense it. He's like, I can tell you guys are trying to roll me off. You're doing the, here's your hat, what's your hurry? He always says that little line. But no,
here's your hat, what's your hurry?
Yeah. I guess that's some Oregon term, but I get what it means. But no, I thought it was awesome. Thought it came together great. I was sort of nervous about having a show where we didn't talk about, you know, it's recap and preview kind of all through the NCAA season. But, you know, I felt like it was worth it to not really get into what happened this weekend or what was coming up. Yeah. And I thought it was really fun and we should do it more. And yeah.
I agree.
And someone said, well, yeah, we can do it to 2,000. I was like, heck yeah. Now it'll take 2 shows a week. It'll take a while.
10 years.
10 years. But who knows?
Unless you crank it up to 3 shows a week, then it's like
Christian's
6
definitely
years.
Dying before that.
Wow. I hope not. But here's the thing. We know why.
How old are you? 60?
Hey, listen, if I die, here's all I want. Exhaust all resources possible to find the man that did it.
And it's, are you pointing?
I'm pointing at you because it's very obvious. It's very obvious. You have an angle you're trying to run here. And if I'm gone, we'll all know why. Because listen, I'm the picture of health, right?
Well, you want to try to touch your toes again on
pretty
camera?
Healthy, pretty healthy.
Medical doctors have said it. You're in great shape.
Okay.
Okay. So take it up with the medicine community, as we call them.
Let's get to the wrestling. How about Bo Bartlett, Brock Hardy?
What about
Hardy
it,
was
Ben?
Hosed.
Wow. So
well, that potentially dangerous. I saw it live. I couldn't particularly see what the referee was looking at. I've watched it in rewind. I've watched it from multiple angles. And I don't know what the referee was looking at. What about that could have possibly been potentially dangerous?
So
at the time they stopped it.
It's interesting. The timing of that happening after the Iowa-Wisconsin duel, we had 2 super similar situations. And as I'm thinking about the season we've had, I don't really recall this happening much where PDs are blowing. And now we had the Levi one against Jared Franek, but where it's like really having a huge impact on the match. If you watch Rachi versus Zargo, it's Zargo. Actually, I think, probably worse. So Rachi kind of screams out.
I did not watch that one.
Zargo is, oh man, I think it's worse, Ben. Zargo's about to score.
It'd be hard to be worse because I can't see anything that could potentially be hurting in this Bo Bartlett and Brock Hardy situation.
So it happens in that one, and Bono loses his mind, and I think he had a real case there. For
tell me when it happened so I can go watch it.
Single leg.
You have any idea?
It's like 40 seconds.
What time of the match?
40 seconds. 4-0 in favor of Rachi. Zargo's in on a single leg in the third period. He's trying to finish backside. He's got the heel, and I think he's above the knee. And Rachi just kind of like leans into him and immediately like screams out and was in pain. And Zargo finishes the takedown. Then they stop it, and they say he didn't get the takedown. And so then they give up Choice, but Choice is sort of irrelevant in this point because Zargo had to stay on his feet. But Same as Hardy Bartlett. And the weird thing is there's actually a rule in the rule book about this exact scenario where if the takedown is imminent, you can give the 3 and the injury time and whatever. Well, for whatever reason, the ref said, no, this is not imminent. I know for a fact that there's other officials that think, hey, this is actually imminent. This should have been a 3. Similarly, in the Hardy Bartlett one, actually the position seems, from an injury standpoint, more innocuous even than the Rachi one. Though I would say the takedown is not as imminent as it was in the Rachi situation.
It was pretty close. I mean, Bartlett could have tried to leg past the leg he had a hold of, potentially, to stop it. But if he doesn't do that leg pass, the takedown is very imminent.
100%. So what it really highlights is the potential. And I don't think either of these guys are not faking injury. They're not yelping out to avoid a takedown. But it does create the scenario where it's very obvious that you can, even if you are giving up choice in injury time, it's worth it in some situations if you can stave off a deep takedown attempt. So I did not think that.
I guess my question would be, like, why is the referee stopping it? Because one guy yells out, like, this isn't K-2 wrestling. I mean, K-2 wrestling, they start yelling. I'm like, all right, I don't want to hear this little kid yell anymore. But this is college wrestling. You don't get to yell just for nothing.
Ben says, third grade, forget your knees.
Well, you know, probably fifth or sixth.
Okay.
Seventh well, grader. I mean, the referee sees something that looks potentially dangerous and they're in pain, then call it potentially dangerous. But if they see something that looks like nothing, I ain't know what you're whining about. Stop whining. We're wrestling here.
Well, especially, we talked about it this morning, especially when they put themselves in that position.
Yeah.
You have guys mm-hmm. that are intentionally bringing their knee out, trying to defend. And, yeah.
It makes almost all single legs potentially dangerous. But by that,
yes.
If that's the burden, I mean, if those you look yes. at those two situations and they merit stoppages yeah. and you can't complete wrestling.
I'm rewatching the Nebraska one again. I just, for the love of me, I cannot figure out any body part that is in any type of danger in this scenario.
Well, Bo, it's I don't think it is that, so I wouldn't get caught up in that. Bo, okay. I think hollers, and I think that's why hollers. He stops it. Screams, yells. Yelps.
But that's what I'm saying. They shouldn't be stopping it based on the yelling of one of the athletes. If they're within a this is gonna be kind of hardcore of me, right? But if they're in a scramble and someone yells, don't stop it unless you see something illegal or you see something potentially dangerous. In those cases, we have rules for those. These are grown men, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you want to yell, then just go over on your belly or go over on your back. The takedown situation will be over and you'll be out of pain. It's simple.
I don't disagree at all. I did not.
Okay.
Sweet. I didn't like the call at all. Okay. In the moment when I watched it live, I was like, all right, I missed something is kind of how I felt. I was like, all right, there was something there.
I actually thought the first time I watched it, I thought, cause you couldn't totally see Hardy's inside leg. I thought maybe, Bartlett had that inside leg tighter, which would put Hardy's knee at a funny angle, but Hardy's knees moves at funny angles. So it's like, why would you stop it? Cause it's, you know, that's what he does, and he's fine there. There's no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know? That was kind of what I thought. Yeah. So, yeah, it was so weird when it got stopped. All right, I'm going to watch a Zargo Wrath Gym one.
If they wrestled again 10 minutes later, who do you think would win?
It's interesting because I think Hardy is going to continue to be a tough matchup for Bo because
mm-hmm.
Brock – the way he gets the legs is not conventional. He has like a weird timing, feel, reach thing that he can just get in on guys kind of, whereas Bo normally can keep guys off of him with just really, he's fast. He has good head hands, but Hardy has a ability to get in and force positions. Like that last shot, the shot that got stopped, was like not the best shot, but he finds his way and he actually was really deep.
Yes.
And he can, another thing I think Brock does a really good job of is in common positions where you see, all right, they stop the initial attack. It's going to be a stalemate. He has a weird ability to bring it back around into a scoring position. I don't think any of that's going away with this matchup. Ooh. So I would say in the future, I think it's a coin flip match. I'd say probably I'd favor Bo here because yeah. even if he gets that takedown, the win is not assured for Brock Hardy at that point in time. But he's
you know what,
matchup.
Though? I didn't like, Christian, I didn't like the second period takedown because I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to grab the toe like that. Did you see the way he had the toe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too.
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that. In freestyle, you're absolutely not allowed to do it. I need to get my rule book up to see what it says about toe grabs, but I sure thought you're not allowed to grab the toe in that manner.
Yeah. So
I didn't think about that when I was watching that.
Because you don't care.
He had such good grip of the toe.
Was it his toe or was it his foot? It was just his toes.
No, it was the toe, 100%.
Bo's doing this new thing.
I watched this Ratchy and Zargo situation. I don't feel similarly to you. He clearly hurts himself. And yes, I would say that. So I wouldn't care if they would have gave 3 points, but I feel like that was actually a good reason to stop it.
Stop it, but.
Yes.
Yes, yes, you stop it, but you award the takedown because it's imminent.
I would have been okay with that.
It's absolutely imminent.
And then the choice is kind of important because Zargo can get another point if he goes underneath.
Because riding time, I think, was at 43 for Ratchy at that point. So it is sort of a gamble if you go under because you could give up that riding time. You got to get away quickly.
Yes.
But it would have been.
Or you can at least go neutral then and try and send it to overtime.
Yeah.
You made me feel when I was listening to you that it was more imminent than it actually was because initially Zargo was in a good position, but not a great position. And then when Ratchy hurts himself, so he clearly turns and his knee pops is what it appears. And then he kind of like jumps forward. So at that point he is just bailed. And yes, the takedown's imminent. But prior to that, you made me think it was like he was falling over and he called injury time as he was falling over. And then the referee kind of waved it.
If you compare,
you know what I'm saying?
I think if you compare the Brock Bo situation to the Ratchy Zargo situation, I think Zargo is way closer to scoring than Brock was.
I mean, yeah, once Ratchy's laid on the ground in pain, laying on the ground in pain. You're crazy. You are so crazy.
You think they're in similar identical
positions? Yes. He's not even above the knee in this situation on the single leg. So when someone gets there, I mean, there's a lot of guys who he's below the knee. He's down on the ankle. I mean, there's some. If you're on Brock Hardy in this position, you're scoring 0% of the time. Zero. Like, you're never scoring.
Sounds like a challenge.
No, you're not. I'm just telling you, you're not. If you're there on Brock Hardy, you're not going to score, period. Right. You need to be above the knee. So where he was like, I don't know, it was like a good position against some people, but against a lot of people, you're getting stalemated or scored on.
Man, I don't know. I just thought it was in a better position than you're giving him credit for. But
no, he has his elbow crook on the knee of Ratchy. I'm sorry, on the ankle of Ratchy in a single leg. That's actually kind of a crap spot. Like, I would honestly rather be in Ratchy's position than Zargo's position if I got to choose both, you know, one or the other.
All right. Okay.
For sure. If you guys, I don't want to get on my high horse, but you don't understand that. You don't understand enough about single legs.
You can kick out, go shin wizard, something like that.
There's so many options. If the single legger can't control the knee, they're almost never going to score there. And then once you get sank that far back and they're sitting on you, to get back up and get the knee against anyone who's good and they know what they're doing, like, it's going to be really hard because the second you start pressing up to try to get weight off you, then you allow them to have space and they can either kick out or spin. It's not a great spot to be in.
Okay.
Yeah. If he was above the knee, I would say differently, but he's below the knee, and that's where I think the issue is.
All right.
All right, sorry, we can move on. We got to kind of nuance in the rest. What does Tyler say? Tyler wants me below the knee, I'll score on Tyler. Tyler will never score on me there.
I thought
0%.
I need to go. I would have to go back and look at the position. I thought that he was. I wasn't paying attention to whether he was above or below the knee. Just watching it, it looked like
he was definitely below because Ratchy was like on his feet.
Yeah,
it looked like Ratchy's
on his knee. Ratchy's
100%. Thank you.
He's not on his feet. What are you guys crazy? I'm literally having it on my screen right now.
Yeah, he wasn't on his feet.
Ratchy is on his right knee on the ground, and Zargo is around his right ankle with his arm.
All right, well,
for sure.
It's two versus one.
I'm literally watching it.
We think he was going
to
score.
Hold on. Can I screenshot this and send it to you guys real quick? I mean,
I would like to see it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I don't know if.
All right, I'll put it. I'll send it to you guys right now. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. I don't know if I'm in the chat.
Promise. I would not lie. Listen.
Oh, there is no chat.
It's a generational thing.
Shut up.
These guys, you know, Ben's older than me. These guys, they think everything's a chat room. He's like, put it in the chat room where you write down all the questions.
You were the one who was the message board nerd.
That's true. Virginia's for lovers.
Yeah, baby.
I actually remember that. I remember that handle, Christian.
Yeah.
Was he ever talking trash about you, Ben?
Never. There's no way that ever happened.
I don't remember. I have no idea. Oh, it's showing up. Jeez, what? It's not showing up. It's showing a black.
You can't screenshot.
You can't screenshot.
They're worried that people start. What? They don't let you. Like Netflix is like this. Yeah. You can't screenshot. Take a picture with
really?
With your phone.
Son of
your a... phone. Do you have a camera phone? Because it'll do it too.
People have cameras on their phone?
These days.
So the reason I still have a problem with this is because.
Thank you.
Ratchy put himself in that position where his knee was getting torqued. He put himself in that position and then yelled. And like it's different than like I've been on the show before. I complained. I pointed out when Bullock got his like headbutted or elbowed in the head. I think that's different because it's the guy's elbowing him and then getting the takedown.
Yeah.
Whereas it wasn't an intentional elbow.
I know it wasn't intentional. That's not no.
I wasn't saying it was an intentional elbow. And I love I almost said I love Ohio State. Ohio State guys are
Flip
great.
It.
I'm not like anti Ohio State or anything. He accidentally elbowed him in the head versus in this case, Ratchy is defending the single leg and letting his knee get torqued.
Yeah.
On like he's putting himself in that position. I don't know. It's not like
the elbow caused the takedown. Okay. Versus this guy's in a bad position. He's in such, listen, it's apparently a great position, but for whatever reason, Caleb Ratchy in this incredible.
Iowa doesn't train these positions, Christian. No, Iowa just ignores these positions and act like they don't exist.
So Caleb's
probably not very good here.
Such good position that the only thing he can do is do this weird lean in. You know, he doesn't pull the shin when he doesn't do any of the things that Ben say are so.
I just told you, Iowa doesn't practice here. That's the issue.
I gave you your turn. These positions are so elementary. They're so simple that Caleb went some other direction and literally hurt himself. So maybe it's possible that while there are, I will acknowledge, there's a way out of this, but it's also possible he's not in a good position at all. And it's also possible he was about to get taken down. I think both things can be true. And I think you're a little simplifying it or... that's what you're doing.
I was being, I'm autistic, so I was being very specific. The position you're alluding to, you said is an imminent takedown. And if you understand wrestling, that's not even that great of a position to be that far down in the ankle.
That's true.
Now, Iowa, it's unlikely they've ever trained this position because they just want to pretend that it doesn't exist, right? They put their head in the sand on some things. So yes, it's unlikely Ratchy is not very good there. And then he turned the wrong way and hurt himself because he didn't know what he was doing.
Okay.
Anyway. All that can be true.
Anyway.
There's also nothing in the rule book that says if you put yourself in a potentially dangerous position, it now becomes not a potentially dangerous position. It's still a potentially dangerous position.
It should be.
I think the refs literally, I've heard many refs like verbatim cite that as a rationale for not blowing it PD.
Yeah, but referees,
you need to know nuance.
They're human. They're flawed, so sometimes they use their own bias in the judgment of the rule set.
True. All right.
Like, for example, saying the spine hinging backwards is against the joint.
I agree.
But the spine, in fact, bends that way because that's why we could do a bridge, for example. Very common maneuver wrestling. I know you do it outlaws.
You guys, a lot of this beef took place off of cameras. So you guys want to fill in what you guys are talking about?
Okay,
it's simple. Christian, Ben thinks a Boston crab or a Steiner recliner should be legal. It's simple, and I just happen to be of the mindset that it should not be
potentially dangerous. Christian, potentially dangerous is what I said. I said if it happens, it shouldn't be illegal because then the referee that is your inside source. Cited the fact that the spine does not bend backwards, so it is in fact illegal because it's going against the joint. But listen, I see people do bridges, and their spine in fact does bend that way. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm doing a Turk, if I'm doing a bear hug, if I'm doing numerous other moves, your spine does in fact bend backwards. So then all of those moves would be illegal, and we know that to be total nonsense. So this cannot be a citation of said rule, right? So therefore, let's just call it potentially dangerous and not illegal and move on.
So your inflexibility is actually a skill in the scenario.
It is a skill.
It's a benefit.
Yeah. It would get me out of a lot of jams. I would just, if If I were wrestling Cody Jim, it would be simple. I would get in the Boston Crab position.
Listen, these people on the chat, like Dave Packy, you need to understand that you don't understand things quite as well as I do. So when I'm speaking, you just need to listen to me, Dave.
Oh, man.
Okay. So if we're going to – no, I'm getting hostile. Because if the spine – I started out hostile.
That's right. All right, there you go.
My wife says sometimes hostile. I'm kind of aggressive. But – if we are going to make something illegal, we have to specify, like, what is exactly illegal. So is bending the spine backwards past 90 degrees, right, or past 180, is that illegal? And if that, in fact, is illegal, then we're going to outlaw a bunch of moves. Or is what's illegal holding two legs while sitting on the spine? Now, if you want to have that rule in the rule book, fine. It'll probably almost never happen, okay? But that rule is not written in the rule book. And if you want to say, well, the rule is bending the spine against the joint, which is backwards, that happens all the time. If you go watch a college wrestling match, you're going to see that happen 15 times because it happens kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So what is the actual rule?
Can I ground us to a position that is maybe a little bit more familiar to the average
listener?
We should
maybe just talk about wrestling.
Well, what about like if you have a half Nelson and a guy's shoulder is about to pop out and the guy starts yelling, a lot of time the ref will still let it go because the guy can just go to his back.
Thank you. Yes.
I like that.
What separates that from the single leg position where this guy the technique he's doing is supposed to make the defensive guy yield by putting his knee in that position. So
yes, I have went on crusades to ban potentially dangerous in college wrestling because the men should know how to protect themselves. Just like, like in a fight, protect yourselves at all times. Now, we can still have illegal holds. We can still have illegal holds, which will ban harmful techniques. But within the rule set of non-illegal holds, there is no potentially dangerous.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. If you're hitting a half Nelson legal, and honestly, it's like the guys that are the most flexible, i.e. probably maybe even the safest in those halves, are the
it
ones...
It looks the weirdest.
It looks the worst, and they're the most likely to get the
and
potentially
they're highly
call.
Reliant on the referee saving them. I mean, we see this all the time. They know if I just hang on long enough, it's going to look terrible, and the referee's going to stop it. So, like, they're really reliant on those potentially dangerous situations, and it's so dumb.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
We've legalized the Boston Crab. Now we can move on.
Hey, Caleb Smith, quite the comeback. I don't know what happened to him. We're going to throw – okay, this is a JD take. I don't know what happened to him on the day of the Petra McKee match. Maybe his girlfriend broke up with him. Maybe his dog died. But I'm going to say, doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
I mean, I'm almost at that point with all of 125.
Yeah, 120.
Right now, like
– Yeah, 100%.
Who cares?
Yeah, Pat McKee is the ultimate.
How about Nico Provo, though? He's like 5-5 since the since Vegas.
Yeah, and Richard Figueroa currently 5-5.
5-5. Oh, my God.
These guys, they're crazy. I
know, coming into the season, you thought Richie Figueroa maybe was like the guy, right?
You're like, yeah, maybe Richie comes in and just beats all these dudes. Yeah. Because we're like, there's really an, you know, there's no like big dog there and someone's going to take the reins. It could be Richie. Nope. Not this year.
Well, he was undefeated last year, correct? Richie Figueroa was undefeated last year.
Correct. He won Vegas. He beat Matt Ramos.
14-0.
A couple other good dudes too.
Yeah. I forget.
It wasn't just Ramos.
The
Unger.
Unger. Other, he beat Nico Provo. Unger. Ramos. Tanner Jordan. Shaver. Noah Certain. He kind of had a lot of wins.
Holy cow.
Yeah, wow.
Diego Sotelo, who's had some good wins. Yeah.
Very true.
Very impressive.
No, I think he might not be healthy.
Well, that's why he missed some time, but at this point.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying I think he's a different guy than he was last year, which we talked a little bit about it last week. How much of this variance in performance is due to grown men, has been saying, having to make 125 pounds?
Could be.
Oh, trying to raise the weight again.
It's not ideal. Yeah, I don't know if I want to restart this conversation, but yeah, you know how I feel. I think 25 is too small, personally. I think we'd be fine.
Yeah, McKee came back and pinned Barnett on Friday night, though.
Yes, he did.
He's so crazy.
He is so crazy. He gave up the first takedown too. But no, Caleb Smith looked good. I mean, it was a 1-1 match late and then big exchange. He was in a really good position to score. And then Braden, who really just wrestles through every position as hard as he can, he ends up trying to pass a leg and gets held there. And I thought they called that right.
Yes.
And then it was 7. And then he went and got the major, which was really impressive. He kicked him late. So he scored all those points basically in the third period. It was a good showing by Caleb. And yeah, no result really can surprise you, but it felt like this, I say regression, but just like Braden taking some lumps was probably going to happen, as it's happened for every other 25 pounder in America. So good win for Caleb. Caleb's got quite a few good wins this year. He beat Matt Ramos. He's beaten who else? It's a lot. It's hard to keep up with.
He definitely has some good wins.
Yeah, he's tough.
And then Ayala didn't wrestle Barnett on Sunday, so that was kind of unfortunate. Because that, you know, it's the 3 and 4 in your guys' ranking, so it would have been good to see.
Would have been a great match. I was excited for it. I was disappointed they didn't wrestle. It sounds like, I mean, Tom didn't come out and say it, but he said it's flu season. And then rumors all, you know, online were that Drake was sick. But it was funny because the conversation when these guys don't wrestle is just like they're ducking. And I think people don't even understand what that means anymore. Or I think because what so rarely is there actually a benefit? There's not really what's the benefit that Drake gets from that? And that's what everyone was. So I tweeted, I was disappointed that this match didn't happen. And everyone starts saying, we got to change the seating process. We got to do this to stop all this ducking. I'm like, this is not related at all to that. I don't think this helps his seed. I think you're totally ignorant of the seeding process to think this is going to really benefit him long term.
Yeah. So you don't think, I actually don't feel that way in this case, but maybe there was a match this weekend that I was disappointed didn't happen, and I'm blanking on which one it was. But, you know, obviously in the Big Ten at 125, it's kind of a crapshoot. You could be anywhere and win. But at certain weight classes, let's David Carr and Julian Ramirez.
That's
so
the one.
Don't you think that was a pub? Okay.
That's the one. That's the only one where I would say this is a duck. The guy wrestled that day. And I think the ducks, when you want to consider that, the head-to-head element, I think, matters. And if they already have the win, the radar can go up, because you don't want to lose that and negate your big win, especially for Julian there. Yes. I mean, you said it the Monday after CKLV, bet you he doesn't wrestle in that duel. And sure enough, he wrestled that day, not that duel. I'll give you that. Was it probably a duck? But I think by and large.
Damn, what was the other one?
I don't know. Oh, well, Gabe.
I feel like there was another one this week. And I don't know. I can't have no proof that it was a duck, but it felt like, oh.
Arini Vito?
No. Dang. I'll think of it.
I don't think you will. I dare you to remember this, Ben. Yeah, I don't know.
You guys are funny.
So that
one, Nagao.
I doubt it was that.
Yeah, I don't think it was that one.
I don't see Ben circling that.
Although Van Dee's a lot better than we thought he was going to be.
100%.
He's kind of tough,
way better than I thought he was going to be. He's doing way really better. Good. I mean, No, he's done a really nice job. I was interested in that match just because Nagao's been on a little bit of a slide.
Oh,
what?
I know what it was.
What is it, Giggles?
It wasn't this week. It wasn't this weekend. I don't even know if I'm bringing this. Gabe Arnold wrestled, but he didn't wrestle last weekend when we wanted to see him wrestle, when he should have wrestled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was this a troll?
Yeah, he wrestled against legal at 84. I'm telling you, they should wrestle him this year.
Well, now at this point, it's
come on, dude. That ain't going to happen.
Why?
For the team, but is that in his best interest?
That's not in his best interest.
Why not?
Well, 74 is probably his best weight class. So, I mean, I hopefully you're advocating him wrestle that weight class. And then 74 just clears out a lot of this year. So why wouldn't you just wait?
Because what if Nelson Brands comes back?
Who did not partake in senior day activities this weekend.
Because it's Iowa wrestling and you're trying to have a good showing and you've got a guy that he looks like he could be top 5 at 184. Maybe. We don't know for sure. But
Yeah.
He's healthy now. And also, he's healthy now. Think about the times where a guy...
That's an argument you make that I actually like that I think is really good.
You're healthy now. He's healthy now. Lineup-wise, I think it makes sense for next year. You're going to want him in the lineup. You're going to want Nelson in the lineup. I think he's going to perform well. You're in a dogfight for a trophy. I think they should wrestle Ben Keeter as well. I think that makes a lot of sense for reasons I talked about, last week. But if you're trying to put your best lineup on the mat, which I think that's part of their ethos, then I think wrestle Gabe Arnold should be on your team. He should be a varsity wrestler this year.
I don't know enough about other other NCAA individual sports, but I would be interested to see if they preserve or use red shirts the way wrestling does, where a lot of times, even if you have the best guy for your team, they will still redshirt because theoretically you get a full year to get better.
Yeah, I think I think the way they use it in wrestling is rarer. Like, I'm pretty sure, I would assume most other sports, like if you're the best athlete, you're going to get utilized pretty much right away.
But it's different in a team sport because
in my experience at Michigan, it was like wrestling and football were like the main sports where everyone the norm is that people redshirt their freshman year, and pretty much every other sport people were like, oh wow, like you guys redshirt, they were surprised when they found out how common it was that people redshirted.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So I think you use him. I think he's a pretty exceptional wrestler, and I think he's ready. Do you think he's not ready, Ben? Do you think they shouldn't use him?
No, I think he'll be better next year, and especially since he hasn't wrestled the entirety of the year. I think his best weight probably is 74. If your argument is the injury one that you're making, I actually like that argument that, hey, he's healthy now, you might as well put him in there. But then you think okay, but Makai graduates, Carter graduates, a bunch of other, I can't think of the rest of them that graduate, but the top two graduate. Wait till next year.
I always think about
if you actually have inside information that Nelson Brands is going to be back. I mean, maybe that changes my feelings a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't say it's inside information. It's just observing. We all know factually he has another year if he wants it, and we know factually he did not participate in Senior Day, but Tony Cassiope and Abe Assad did. Ross Bartoszek pointed that out, and it's true. So I find that to be notable, and it's possible that Nelson Brand's best weight is 174 as well. So
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe there's a competition there for the 74 spot. And you look at 184 this year. Parker is the big dog, no doubt. But there's a lot of guys with – I mean, Plotz had a good year. Pinto's had a good year. But all these guys, they have vulnerabilities. Is that tripping y'all out?
For sure.
Switching. That's crazy.
I didn't notice.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, what?
I'm looking at the screen, and it's just blink, 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 blink. You keep switching. I know if y'all noticed that, too. So, yeah, I don't know. I think you use him.
There was one time on the show where Ben talked about, and I'm not going to say that Gabe Arnold – he obviously does not have all the same pieces that Zane Rutherford had, but it really stuck with me once Ben brought up, if Zane redshirted his freshman year, he might have been the GOAT. And that, to me, sticks out whenever we have this conversation about an athlete who, Gabe Arnold, who his true freshman year is beating All-American-level guys at a weight class up. He obviously, I don't know how good he is on top. That was kind of a huge part of Zane and some of these elite guys, but... it sticks out in my brain when you think about how elite he is. He has a chance to do crazy things. So
I think that's a great point. I don't disagree with that at all. But Zane, and the Zane thing's crazy because he was solid on top as a freshman, but he became the transcendent turner after his redshirt year. He was not turning guys at all. He was just clinging.
Not at all. He was like a backpack that year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't talk about the other backpack because we're going to end up
gas from bottom.
Rekindle that
no, debate. Don't incredible. Do it. Yeah. All right, let's keep.
But they're probably going to. Are they going to use Arnold against Oklahoma State this week?
I would imagine.
I don't think they can. That's the thing. Is no, that's he's his got last one
more. He's got one more.
What? How are you counting?
I don't know.
I use my fingers.
Can't you count, Christian?
Well,
he didn't know which way was south.
Don't forget, he wrestled at the... Because didn't he wrestle one unattached?
Soldier Salute doesn't count. Right,
Luther College Open. That is an event.
Live at Luther College. Okay.
Or Oregon State, trained. Iowa State. Soldier Salute, no. Iowa, Wisconsin.
Soldier Salute doesn't count. He's unattached.
Because it was after
semester. Second semester didn't start.
It's after first semester, though.
It's considered second semester. I got that clarified. Mm.
Okay. So here's one more.
So how do you count, Ben?
Because remember we were saying they're going to use them against Penn State and Oklahoma State.
Yes.
But to pull a fast one.
Yeah.
So, nah.
They needed him for Wisconsin.
Well, if he beats Plott, then I say wrestle him.
Okay. I think that's fair. If he beats Plott, wrestle him. That'll be a great match. Okay.
Wrestle him at 84?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what Christian advocates.
This year.
He has a much better bump up from Riggins than he is from Kennedy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's probably not best for him individually.
I don't know that. Well, if he beats Plott,
that's a solidified number two guy.
I swear I think he could place just as high at 84, 74.
Because of the weight classes.
Yes. I really believe he could place.
But he could place a lot lower at 84. Because like you look at someone like Foca at 10 or Fishback at 13 and you think, I don't know if I'd pick those guys, but that's a
tournament
coin flip.
At 184 is a lot different than one match at 184 too.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. I agree with that.
He would have a couple at 184. He also beat Feldkamp.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying like wrestling at 184 when you're undersized in a whole tournament is a lot harder on your body than wrestling one match in a duel.
How undersized is he now?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
That he knows he doesn't have to make 174.
I don't know. I wonder what he weighed in at. He doesn't look that small.
Probably 184. But
at the beginning, he was still making 174 as well, but now if you know you don't have to make 174, obviously he didn't get many months to bulk up and have to cut down to 184, but still.
Tyler, speaking from experience as an undersized 65-pounder who was a 57 wrestling. So you felt some of that pain?
I felt a lot of that pain, yeah. I felt like it, I don't know, from my personal experience, I was a big first takedown guy.
Yeah.
And then would lose the match, but after getting the first takedown, because I'd get really tired or I'd feel like weak.
Hey, speaking of that, to bring it back to Penn State, Nebraska, Bartlett's doing this new thing where I feel like he wasn't doing it first semester, where he comes out right off the whistle and tries to get the first takedown.
Shoots off the whistle.
Right away.
Yes.
Props.
But then he goes back to doing nothing.
It feels to me,
against Michael Cera.
Like I don't know what their like Penn State's version of like Bonnie is, but like it feels to me like that's like a conversation that like maybe he has with her or like with someone. It's like, all right, you have trouble shooting. What's like the first thing you can do? What do you visualize yourself doing? Visualize himself shooting off the whistle. So he does it and then maybe takes the foot off the gas a little bit after that.
Yes. I believe that Penn State's Bonnie is actually Bonnie.
Whatever.
He came out right. I mean, he did get the first takedown in the Woods match, but it was like a minute or so.
Because he didn't get that first shot. He shot right off the whistle.
Yeah.
But he shot right away, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I don't
know. Got to the leg, but Hardy defended. And then I believe he scored on a counter.
Woods defended, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he did the same against.
Because he scored right away against Hardy.
Yep.
So no, he did come out and take it right away. All right, that was 41, 49.
Also, one other thing: how do you feel about the referees going to the review at the end versus making Penn State? Well, they didn't have a challenge at that point.
They didn't,
right? Because they lost it at 25.
I don't know.
It's kind of maybe not in this instance specifically, or was it? No, it was 84 that I'm talking about. Sorry. Where at the end, it was close, and they went to the review and when Penn State didn't have a challenge.
Yeah, I thought it was sort of, while he was deep in on a shot, he was never close to a takedown as far as I could tell. So that sort of surprised me a little bit.
Might have said that Pinto's knee was still down when he went across. Truex went across the other leg as Pinto was standing up.
I don't fault the refs for that at all because I. They should look at their own calls. They didn't change it. They changed it. And they, the point is to get it right. So if you look at it, you're trying to get it right, that's fine. They probably, Nebraska probably just like anything getting near a challenge or what they view as a legitimate win would just make some nervous.
I don't mind it when it's right at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
But during the match, make the coaching corner throw it a brick.
I agree with that.
Yes.
You can't be stopping it just because, this was close. We're going to have a look at it. No, make your call. And if the the coaches don't agree, make them challenge.
That was a great match, too.
It was. Pinto almost.
I know.
Blew it there at the end.
That was a fun match.
What were your thoughts on it, Ben?
Pinto slowed down. Pinto's powerful. Got a few. Got that drag double takedown? Maybe it was. And there was the few times he avoided not imminent. I'm not using that word, but Truex is in a great position. He was able to avoid a couple of takedowns. So it was really impressive.
I thought. This is a wrestling technique with a bad wrestler corner. But like when Bernie got in deep on that single leg, he came up around the body, which is like last position I feel like you want to be against Lenny Pinto, who is just like probably the pound for pound strongest guy at this weight.
He's able to just get that overhook and bring him up.
He just kind of threatened an over under body lock, I think. And Bernie was able to just kind of take him towards the out of bounds. But it did seem like towards the end, Lenny was slowing down a little bit and Bernie was able to get in on his single leg consistently. He got the one takedown. Then he got in again late and that was the exchange that ended up getting challenged but upheld the original call and Lenny wins. But I thought I want to see that match again. I think it was there to be won for Bernie, but Pinto is clearly an NCAA finalist contender here at this weight.
Yes. Those two will be one and three because you got Salazar in their seeds at Big Tens probably, so they maybe meet in the finals.
Yeah, Pinto struggles with Salazar, it'll be a good tournament again. I think Lenny can go with all these guys, but I do think late in matches could be a challenge, and just strategically, he's got to make the right choices. But he's really good. And Bernie's single leg is just filthy.
Yes.
It is really nice. One of the best singles in the country, I would say.
Pinto hit a really nice outside swim.
Yes.
Outside step. I feel like you're seeing that move way more in this year.
Oh yeah.
Than you have in past years.
Penn State really likes it too.
Yeah.
Levi hits it, Mitchell hits it.
Keegan.
Mitchell loves it.
Yeah. Keegan hits Keegan outside loves step. It. Why is outside step becoming more effective and in vogue, we shall say?
I think it's going to go out of vogue. Unvogued. What?
Nothing.
I'll explain why I think that. Sitikov was the first one to really start hitting it with any type of regularity. I believe that's actually how he got either one or maybe both the pushouts on Burrows, right? Outside step high cross and drove
him out. That's how he got on Dake, too.
Yeah.
Yes. So, it allows you to have a little deeper penetration. It throws people off of the motion because you go one, then two, boom, boom. You outside step and then drive the knee through. So when you do get in on it, you are in a superior position than probably a regular high crotch because of where you're at. But it does take an extra step to get to than a regular high crotch, right? You're taking one extra step because you're going outside than inside as opposed to just driving your inside leg in. And so I think it's having a lot of success right now because people aren't used to the timing component of it because a lot of people don't do it. Therefore, the timing and the extra step throws people off. And I think once people understand that timing, then maybe they'll start defending it a little easier.
Got it.
That's my prediction.
Okay. I don't hate that.
Later outside step.
It's going to take a couple years probably.
I remember when Ben Askren – I bought the Ben Askren leg passes DVD back in the day.
Yeah.
DVDs, Tyler, are these...
what are those?
There was these circles, and you would place them inside a machine, and then it would have a video there.
Wait, you know what a machine is?
Anyway, machines. Anyways, Ben said that leg passes, these are on the way out. This was in 2007, maybe? 8, 9, maybe?
I was too far ahead.
You're too far. But they're still... I see them every duel. They happen.
Leg passes suck.
He's so far ahead that it hasn't happened yet, Christian. It will happen. Listen,
I don't think, if you watch out, leg passes they're definitely on the downswing if you compare to and you guys could argue because of the rule set, but say a Jesse Delgado mid-2010s, 2013 through 15, they're definitely on the downswing there. And you could argue it's a rule set, but it's definitely on the downswing.
I still think they're like an essential skill to have. That it gets you out of so, it gets, man, I think, I don't know. I'm not challenging you, but I think
I don't disagree. It's like it's a last ditch effort of like, I'm about to get taken down. Let me grab something and roll through with it.
Yeah. Whereas with like Jesse Delgado, he was almost baiting guys to get in on shots so he could leg pass them.
Yeah. He was so fast at it too. But at that point, I mean, it wasn't a new skill. So he was doing something really
newer. Well, a lot of people weren't doing it yet. Yeah. It was getting there.
Yeah.
I would say, I guess my argument, I probably what I said in there, that I think that it's easily defendable enough that people are going to figure out the defense to it. And so I guess maybe I was wrong on that, that there's a lot of people who still have not figured out how to defend a leg pass. And it is a little bit surprising to me.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
All right.
Sidebar.
Levi Haynes look great.
Oh my gosh. I feel like he's separating. I think I tweeted that, but like, feels like the way coming into this year, it's like, man, he kind of narrowly edged out Rob last year, and 157 so deep. And now you see
Rob wasn't healthy at the end of
Rob wasn't healthy. You could say that. And now
it was close for a bit.
Yeah. And he had some close matches this year, but now it feels like his 7 minutes, he's going to score 8 to 10 points, even against elite guys. He destroyed Franek. He destroyed Rob. These are really good wrestlers. Yes. These are guys that could be in the NCAA finals. It feels like he's pulled away from the field. No one's unbeatable, but that looks like the state of 157 right now. Whereas coming into the year and even in the middle of the year, he was my pick during different points, but never with a ton of certainty. And coming into the year, I thought Meyer was going to win. And I weirdly feel Meyer's the only guy with like a good shot against him, but I also feel Meyer will lose to him badly. I may have said that on the show already, but I'm saying it now again.
Well, Meyer could lose to someone else prior to that also.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, 57's a fun weight, but Levi's kind of taking a little bit of the fun out of it by...
I'm not ready to call it next topic yet.
I'm not next topicing it.
I'm not either.
I'm observing separation. And I think it's notable because against... Now, he did have a 2-1 against Willouan.
I was just going to say, who do you think his closest match was?
Was insane.
Saldate was controversial. Saldate,
he almost lost.
Yeah, it was Saldate. I'm looking at that now.
Yeah. Well, he only beat Will by a point also.
It was both were 1 point, but I would say the match with Saldate was like closer just because there was actual scoring.
Hey, Brayton Lee hit Will with the Willouan special, beat him 2-1. Brayton Lee's kind of back.
Can't believe you brought that up, dude.
Oh my god!
You brought it up, Will.
We'll sleep on Lee.
Yeah, Lee looks good, but yeah, Levi looks awesome right now at 57. But the thing is, with a weight like that, with that sort of depth, he's going to be challenged in round two. He's going to have someone good from like second round on. And anytime you have a weight like that, there's a lot of variance.
All right.
What can happen?
I'm going to read some names. I want you to tell me who you think has the best chance of beating Levi Haynes this year. We got Vinny Zerbin.
He literally did.
Who has done it.
He did it. He looked
undefeated
good.
Undefeated this year. People forget.
not the best chance, but.
What are the odds he gets the one seed?
Not good.
Zerbin?
He won't have enough quality of competition. I mean.
Levi would have to lose at Big Tens.
Even though, I don't know. They don't include results.
He will probably get the two, though.
Okay.
He'll have to be Chittum at Big 12s.
Yeah, who else is there at 50 Big 12s? Maybe just those two.
Has he wrestled Chittum this year?
Oh, Teague Travis.
Downey.
Okay, but Vinny Zerbin, that's number two. Ja'Cory Teamer, Michael Blockus.
Hey, are they in the Big 12 this year?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Next year they will be.
Okay, because Ja'Cory would be interesting in the Big 12.
Daniel Cardenas, Meyer Shapiro, Bryce Andonian.
Andonian's
Levi,
interesting.
Who's most likely? Picking, probably Meyer.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know, LT Andonian.
Andonian pinned him. Levi last year, although it wasn't called. He so pinned him.
You have to score so many points
on this show. No, admit that was a pin.
What? Why are you targeting me?
Admit it, Penn State Homer Piles.
It's a Virginia Tech guy. What are you talking about? You're out of your mind. Oh, gosh. We got giggling. Giggles Ben. Oh, my gosh. He has so many different laughs.
Oh, my gosh.
Would you take Levi or the All field going into NCAA? Oh,
that's a great question.
Levi.
I think I would take Levi.
Then it's maybe like 50-50 odds, 55-45.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if you said, hey, you have money to wager here and it's even, I may throw 10 piece on the field. Crazy stuff happens in this tournament. Stuff that right now the perspective is that this would take something huge, but Levi losing this tournament, probably as we look back, let's say he did, would probably be like the fifth biggest upset or something like that. Like things.
And then we'll look back on his career and be like, oh, he went 2-3-1-1 or something like that. Like that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, he's my pick. Okay. Hey, listen, Caleb Piles, if I don't ask this question, he has been asking me to ask this question for weeks now, and I haven't done it. I don't know how these things come into his head, but we're just driving. He goes, do you think Nash Hutmacher could win 184? I was like,
no.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, no. And then I was like, well, he is really big. So he texted me. I looked at my phone, and it's just caps. Nash. He said, please. I'm thinking probably not. I think Ben and Taylor, you guys were in Division I rooms, right? How common is it for the lighter weight guys to go up and beat? Because I think in our minds, it seems like an impossibility. But I feel like it probably happens, especially like 84.
I'll answer it with this. This is an easy answer. Peter Marinopoulos, who is 2-7, is a 197 pounder. Nash barely beat him. That's a bad 197 pounder. If you give him a good 184, he ain't winning.
No,
I agree. What? Okay. What's the highest ranked or lowest ranked, depending on how you think about it, heavyweight that could win 184? Could every ranked heavyweight win 184? This is why people are tuning
hell
in.
No, hell no. There's no way. There's no way.
Okay.
A good 84. Parker would definitely beat some of the guys. Like, because you think about it, Parker's, what, 200 pounds? Like a Nick Feldman, what's he, 225 or something?
Yeah.
Like, they're not that much smaller. Like, if you told me Parker beats Tyrell Gordon on a regular basis, I'm not even slightly surprised by that.
I'm with you.
Do you think Parker could beat Nick Feldman?
I think that's a bad matchup.
Surprised at all?
I think that'd be tough.
Why? Because he's going to go behind it? Well, if he's smart enough to not shoot it enough, Nick's not going to be quick enough to attack him. So, you know, if he kind of like is a little more savvy, he's not going to be able to go underneath as much because he's a big guy.
All right.
I feel like your younger Bastidas, the more agile heavyweights, are going to be able to wrestle your 184s. Yeah. But now that might be obvious considering he was a 97. But rather than your big boys, your Nash Hutmachers.
Also, we should have Parker guest call in and just list all the heavyweights he could beat.
Yeah, that would be way easier.
All-Star 2024?
Yeah. Parker takes on the big boys. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to make mention of that.
What if Nash Hutmacher was wearing his shoulder pads?
Good luck.
And
I got a funny story about that.
And a helmet.
Football pants. Well, we won't say helmet because that's going to cause injury.
Did I tell you about Ozzy?
Oh,
is that what you guys are referring to?
No. What'd this guy do?
I didn't tell you about Ozzy. Well, I took him a couple weeks ago, him and Andy, and they went with me to watch regionals. And we're sitting there. And he goes, what if a football player just ran in here and beat up some wrestlers? And I'm like, Ozzy, that would never happen because wrestlers are way better fighters than football players. He's like, yeah. But if the wrestlers tried hitting him, they'd have the football helmet on so it wouldn't hurt him.
Ozzy's right about that.
Good point. That's a good point.
What's the Will Ferrell movie where he's always wearing his football pads? Is it Superstar?
I don't know.
I haven't seen that one.
That's a Will Ferrell movie where it's set like he's like a high school player.
Ready.
But he's just always in his football pads, like even during class.
A movie where Will Ferrell is playing a high schooler?
Yes.
Sounds great.
It what? Is I don't remember this, JD.
Superstar. Look it up.
Superstar?
I believe it's Superstar.
Not the basketball one? What's the basketball one?
Air Bud?
No, that's Air Bud. What? No, that's
I mean, he's not wrong.
The Tropics. No! What is Will Ferrell's basketball movie called? It's called
Semi-Pro.
Semi-Pro,
Anchorman?
Yes.
Semi-Pro, thank you.
Is that good?
You guys are idiots.
Semi-Pro is tremendous.
Semi-Pro is good? I've never seen it.
Oh my God, hilarious.
That's right when Will Ferrell's making his best run.
Really? I searched Will Ferrell football movie, and it comes up with Kicking and Screaming, which is
food soccer. Yeah.
That's a soccer movie, which is also hilarious. I think you're making this up, JD. I cannot
this is
find
real.
Oh, Superstar with the... Yeah. With Molly Shannon, where she...
Yes.
She's...
Yeah, she puts her hands in her pants.
Isn't he a cheerleader in that? Well, I never saw the movie, but in the SNL sketch, isn't he like a cheerleader?
And she would say, Superstar. No, that was with Sherry O'Terry.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You are so...
I found the movie Superstar. I'm looking. Plot. Where's Will Ferrell here?
No, he's
plot?
In it. He's right on the cover next to Molly.
He's the main character.
I understand, Bob, but he's saying he's a football player, and I don't believe that to be the case.
All right.
Will Ferrell as Jesus.
This is a 30-minute warning. We have 30 minutes left of the show.
Oh, snap. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We got a boog. We got a boog.
Don't you come at me with the Will Ferrell trivia.
You want to talk more about the Nebraska-Penn State duel? Do you want to talk about...
The only thing, maybe last...
I think we did somehow hit all the matches.
...on the coffin is just... if Hardy wins that match... It's starting to look a little different because Nebraska's won 4 straight and they won 184, so then it's split 5-5.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It would have been interesting. I thought they had to get 6 wins because of Penn State's bonus, but they did.
Obviously, Nagao wasn't in, which could have played a difference as well. But
yeah, no doubt. No, I didn't have anything else. Nebraska's really tough. They have a really good team.
Yes.
I don't know who's going to get second at this tournament, NCAAs.
Or Big Tens.
Or Big Tens.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Michigan to both of those. Just,
Michigan. Could be. Could be.
But non-Olympic weight worlds in Albania.
Right.
That is significant because it means Iran will probably not be there.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Albania and Iran do not like each other.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, Iran was not allowed at U23s this past year.
Oh, yeah, because Keegan would have had that one good Iranian that he get to wrestle.
Dang. South Dakota State, Missouri had a crazy duel. It was sort of funny how it went down because Tanner Sloan.
Terrible.
Tanner Sloan comes out with a whole head and arm. I call it a cowboy. Cowboys, Rocky Elam, slap the mat. And then there's all this excitement. South Dakota State's up by 4. Rasmussen is.
I know.
You know, he's kind of a guy. He's kind of tough. Like, he wrestled Doucette tough. Elam beat Doucette 1-0. You're like, all right, all he has to do is not get major or actually teched. And it goes to criteria. And honestly, he could have given up the major. Maybe they would have had criteria. I don't know. But either way, but Zach Elam comes out, takedown immediately, crossface cradle, crunches up, pins him, duel over. It was like, it was sort of funny, the swings. If there was momentum in a match, it would have mattered there. It did not.
Yeah. Man, I can't believe Rocky Elam got caught in a headlock. We were actually watching it because we have multiple kids. We have kids. We had just finished our high school practice. We have multiple kids going to Missouri, and we have a kid going to South Dakota State. So they're all kind of watching it. And then I had walked in the room to talk to one kid about something else. And then the South Dakota State kid comes and goes, Elam just got headlocked. I'm like, oh, my God, are you freaking kidding me? So ridiculous.
Yeah, Elam's not had the year probably he thought it would, but he's had some good wins.
I mean, he was winning. To what they told me, he had the first takedown. He was up 3-0 when he got headlocked, correct?
He was. He had a nice little kind of go behind, finished.
Jeez.
But then he got. Yeah, I mean, Missouri. There was another upset in that duel, I think. I know
Mako
one,
lost to DeVos, which was
that's not
disappointing.
An upset,
but I mean, that's not an upset at this point.
Yeah,
DeVos I don't think there was.
No, you're right. There wasn't.
I've won 5. Stand up.
I was just thinking that was notable. Yes. Notable 5-1-5.
Because Mizzou was missing.
5-1-5.
I don't know that we're getting the 33 back, given those pictures you guys sent me. And then, but 49, Joffrey was still out, and I don't know when he's coming back.
He's been out for a while now, in fact. Okay, we talked about that duel. Oklahoma State took a couple upsets in Bedlam. Heintzelman beat Doucette, And Braden Thompson lost to Tate Picklow. So a couple losses there for the Cowboys that were a little unexpected, but otherwise a route for the Cowboys.
It is now officially Caro Tool Week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, baby. Speaking on Oklahoma State, Missouri.
How ready?
I don't know why I said Oklahoma State, but Missouri and it's okay. Iowa State.
Well, it's Oklahoma State Iowa Week also.
Yes, it is.
That's a big one. So some
on show Thursday.
Some great duels coming up. Any thoughts on Keegan Carr Part 4?
Nothing. That's a revelation. I think.
What is Keegan's game plan?
Yeah.
I've talked previously about kind of like the strengths and weaknesses and what he's looking for. So you guys can go back and find it somewhere on FRL.
All right. We'll pull it. Mm-hmm. Keegan O'Toole's game plan leaked.
Ben just trying to boost our numbers.
Put leaked audio in the title, Tyler. It'll do really well.
Okay.
You should put that in almost anything.
Braden Thompson beat Picklow 9-0 last time. It's kind of surprising that he lost to him this time.
Yeah, that is surprising.
I don't like how Bedlam wrestles twice per year.
Yeah.
I want once, all the marbles.
How much Bedlam?
Put your gonads on the table.
All right.
You know what my favorite rivalry is? Virginia Tech, NC State.
That's a great one. That's this week as well. This could be a great weekend.
Pretty cowardly, you didn't pick Michigan, Ohio State.
But... Well, besides that, that's a given.
That's not a good rivalry, though. They don't even dislike each other. They just, like, bro out.
For wrestling.
NC State and Virginia Tech, I can confirm, they hate each other a lot. There is no love lost. Ohio State, Michigan, what's up?
Really? These both seem like nice guys. I mean, we got Pat Papalizio on the one side, Tony Robbie on the other side. Like reasonable. Papaluzio. No,
they don't like each other. Gentlemen. It is.
What? Really?
Oh, yeah. They get on. Into it.
I know. That's why it's awesome. Mm.
I know. It's great.
Okay.
It's absolutely fantastic.
Last year, it came down to the last match. It pretty much does like every single year.
Yeah, it probably will this year, too.
So if you haven't watched that rivalry, you should definitely check it out this week.
Hey, state champion season is here. It's happening right now. We should talk about some of that. Congratulations to Audrey Jimenez winning an Arizona boys state title. Cool. Big school. That's really cool.
Yes.
It's really hard to do.
Does Arizona have a girls state tournament?
I don't know. Audrey's overqualified to compete in that. It's like, weren't you in Final X? Outlaws had a strong showing at the Texas State Championship.
Yes, they did.
Why are you laughing? Hey, listen, Ben.
That's awesome.
Listen, Ben.
I mean, I'm not over here talking about my youth wrestling team, but it's cute. I love it.
I think it's adorable. You know what? And I'm not saying that we are the AWA of Texas, but we had an outlaw versus outlaw matchup in the state final.
Nice.
That's notable. So that's the beginning. That's the start. And pretty soon.
Was it Caleb?
Couple other finalists.
Not youth. It was not Caleb because he is not in high school yet. He is actually 12.
Oh, they said youth.
No. No. That's,
oh, my bad.
That's this week. That's this week.
Oh, got it.
So, yeah, no, high school state champions. They had a bunch in the finals. It was a strong showing for the Outlaws.
Nice.
And I have a shout-out I need to give back home, Buffalo Gap High School. So there is a young lady named Brennan Hildebrand. She became the first all-state wrestler for Buffalo Gap High School. I have a clip. I pulled a clip like a professional. Of Brennan getting this win. And this is really cool because when I was a coach, I remember being told in no uncertain terms that there will never, ever be a girl wrestler at Buffalo Gap High School. And I was like, okay, all right, got it, noted. And that was not that long ago. You know, though Tyler tries to portray me as an old man, I am not. And so that was the thought back then. Like, no, there will never be a girl wrestler. And now
Dana White famously said that also about the UFC.
Yes. And the principal at Buffalo Gap was Dana White at the time. So it actually makes sense. But what's cool about this is one that she's, you know, first ever for Buffalo Gap, a place everyone knows. I love Virginia. I love Buffalo Gap. That's why they come up so often. And this young lady is from Deerfield, Virginia. Now, long-time listeners, and I learned through the 1,000-episode process, a lot of people said, I've listened to every episode, which I think is insane. I barely listened to every episode, and I've been on them all. And so you will know that Tracy Piles is from Deerfield, Virginia, and this is where he famously did not attend eighth grade. Remember, he went K K to seven, and he skipped that and went to ninth grade. So everyone made fun of, you know, it's just this really, I mean, you think Churchville's small town, Deerfield's even.
Did that happen on accident?
No, that's just how it was. It was like you would go K to seven, and then kids would just like quit school and just start working and farming or whatever, or you just go to ninth grade. Okay. So I don't know, but
this
he went
wild.
To,
this
he,
is wild.
He went to Deerfield Elementary to seventh grade. So anyways, this young lady's from Deerfield. Her father actually coached with us for a year at Buffalo Gap, and he was a state finalist at Buffalo Gap. Her granddad was the school resource officer when I was at Gap. So it's just a great thing. So congrats to Buffalo Gap. Congrats to Brendan Hildebrand. Very cool stuff there. Go Gap, go, baby.
State championship season in Iowa. Y'all got to hear this.
I'm listening.
This is from Trevor Mader pointed this out on the app formerly known as Twitter. The curse of Briar Rise lives on. The Logan Magnolia senior was a four-time runner-up. Three of the kids that beat him in the finals, Adam Allard, Robert Avila, and Max Magana, lost while going for their fourth.
Wow.
So this guy was a four-time finalist.
Whoa, the jinx.
Four-time finalist. Three of the guys that beat him were three-timers and then lost after they beat him while going for their fourth.
Whoa. That's actually kind of crazy, right?
That is nuts.
That's cosmic. That's insane. Well, that's good. Yeah, Iowa State tournament was crazy. Magana lost, and then the guy that beat him lost in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Hempstead.
Hey, why don't you hit some questions? We had some good ones in there.
Okay. Wait, hold on. I wanted to bring something up.
Okay.
You guys, you know what? I think you guys aren't talking about the best match of the weekend. Really fun match.
Okay.
Caliendo Humidi was a wild match.
Oh, yeah.
It ended 14-11 or 13-11 or something like that. Humidi came out and kind of got two early takedowns. Honestly, a little bit Mitchell Caliendo-ish, where Caliendo gave it the first two takedowns. But then Caliendo came back and made it very, very close. Like, I think if he would have got the last takedown at the end, he cut him and he was going for it, and he would have won maybe-ish.
Yeah, that's you remembered correctly. No, that was a great match. Yeah. Sometimes it looked like Caliendo was almost like stuck in the mud a little bit. Like he looked really slow, yes. But then he would look really fluid and get to legs. The way it started, you're like, oh, is Hamidi going to just run away with this? But
smash him.
He stayed in the match and made it really interesting. I want to see it again at Big Tens. I know that. Good call out, Ben. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good match.
While you guys were talking about state championship season, I thought this would be a perfect time to introduce like a little segment. We can clip this out very easily. I want you guys to rank your top five states where it's hardest to win a state title. You don't get to think about it. Christian, go.
People love this.
I'll say no.
You don't get to think about it. Come on.
I'm not saying
go.
California.
Gun your
Pennsylvania.
Head.
Pennsylvania.
Taser.
Pennsylvania.
Get the taser. Get the taser.
It's top five.
Pennsylvania. Five. Pennsylvania, five. New Jersey, California, Ohio, Illinois.
Okay, JD.
The same, but swap Illinois for Iowa.
Okay, Ben.
Iowa, get the hell out of here. Get him off the show.
All right, I'm sorry.
What? JD.
I snuck Iowa at number five. It's not absurd.
It's not crazy. It's wrong.
I mean, like, you know, 13 or something. You know,
13?
Whatever. Well, they have four divisions, don't they?
Three?
That's still not
That's
great.
That's a proportionate amount.
What would you put in there, Wisconsin?
No, they only have 2.5 million people. So I go Pennsylvania, California, New Jersey.
I think I'd go California one.
Maybe.
Because they only have one
Ohio.
Class.
Yeah, they have like 900 schools in one class. It's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, someone like Indiana, they only have one division. Yeah. And so if you're saying toughest state to win a state title, well, if you're in the smallest class in Iowa,
true,
you're going to have an easier time winning that state title than you would in Indiana, because in Indiana there's only one division, for example.
Yeah.
So Iowa was definitely
I out. Didn't like the nature of this question.
Which is why I would go California number one.
Indiana should be in there, New Jersey, California, Pennsylvania.
You made your five. I already clipped it.
Because, yeah, when you think Instagram. About it, the one division thing is really hard because a lot of states that have multiple divisions, their smallest division's not as strong. You know, it's the smaller schools. And they're just not quite as good. So winning a state title in that division would be easier, right? Therefore, winning a state title in that state could be easier.
In Virginia, the smallest class is actually the best.
Bro, that's easy. Let's list the easiest, Virginia. They have seven divisions. It's preposterous.
There's easier to win. Come on.
This is fun because we have people in the chat chiming in too.
Virginia's Kansas the easiest. Is
pretty low because they have three or four.
I thought they had more than that.
Well, I think they have six, but they combine the bottom three into one.
Oh, not to throw any shade here, but when I was at Arizona State, I was recruiting the Western states. A lot of these states, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Idaho, they have like four or five divisions, and there's not a lot of high schools. So I don't want to get the numbers wrong here, but you guys can look it up if you want. I want to say it was like 25 to 30 schools per division, which is like in Wisconsin.
Does everybody qualify?
It was, I mean, it's like you would see people, you know, I'd get the brackets and you'd see people with like
losing records. Yeah.
I want to say, in Utah, maybe you're allowed to have, I think you're allowed to enter two athletes per weight class, maybe. I hope I'm right on that one. I think that's how it was.
I like that.
Used to be a one class for your individual state champion. I used to be in that boat. But I think I've switched a little bit. I don't want to go crazy, but two or three I think is kind of appropriate. You kind of swayed me on this, Ben, whenever we talked. This was a year or two ago. We talked about this. But, you know, just what it means for a kid to be a state champion and for a small community, what it can mean for them is more important than having your quote-unquote one true champion per weight in a state, I think.
I love it. I think it's great.
So you know what they did in Wisconsin? Then they haven't done it yet. I think it actually starts next year. But the top five teams, and I actually should look if this is wrestling or all sports, but I know wrestling. The top five teams move up a division.
That's so
strange. So it's like going to be in 5 or 10 years, Division One will be the stackedest by a long shot, and the last division is going to be super weak because all of the best teams will have moved out of that division.
Well, wait. Won't eventually every team be up there?
No, because you drop down the worst couple.
Yeah, you like drop relegation. Down the ones that would be the
so
bottom.
So it's like
ones.
A professional league.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's like the Premier League.
Yeah, it's like the Premier League. Dumb.
I think that's dumb.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Well, then it actually kind of does devalue. That devalues the state title more than
smaller ones.
Yeah, because it's just like, okay, you just won the bad state title. It literally is the bad state title.
Yeah.
Like the worst.
The worst one. The competitive equity of it is going to be way off to your point because you've took all the good teams out of it.
Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's just based on size and population, it's like, well, there can still obviously be tough kids and teams.
Yeah, the other case for the smaller classes is like, or multiple classes, you got these schools where these athletes need to play sports kind of year round. You can't specialize often. Like, and you need to play football. We're not going to have a football team kind of deal. And so there's a lot of reasons I like it. Obviously, I'm biased.
Looking at like a four sport athlete in high school, no big deal.
I came from
varsity,
small school, but I think it's important. All right, let's do questions for real.
What high school state championships is best in terms of atmosphere and showmanship? And this person said, and why is it Indiana? Person says it's
Wisconsin.
We're
sold out, baby. Sold out.
Yeah, we sell
at
Wells Fargo Arena.
Well, it never looks sold out.
No, you don't.
Well, by the time heavyweight
never looks sold out.
I don't know. Iowa's up there.
I am
Indiana. I think is definitely up there.
I definitely have California bias because it is the only state championship I've ever been to. But as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong. But because it's one state champion, it's just one division, right? Is it the only one that does a spotlight for the finals?
Indiana does, I believe.
Indiana does too.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool.
Wait, so is California sold out, Tyler, or not?
I think it is sold out, but it's never like fully.
They bus people in. It's like a 1FC
because it's considered sold out, but like it's not always like completely full. You know what I mean? But it's usually pretty full.
Yeah, it's like a 1FC where they just fill the stands with like actors. And
I wish
sometimes you'll find Nathan Fielder in there trying to.
You know it's true, Ben. Not for your fights. Your fights.
I actually don't know that that's true. I mean, the stands were always full. I don't know how they got full. I just fought in the cage, and then there was a lot of people there cheering.
That's great. That's good.
They may have bust him in. I'm not sure. I didn't watch that.
I wish every state was lucky enough to have like an iWrestle that really specializes in theirs. And then you can go and can have your two or three individual class state champions and then have that organization put on an event like they have with their Night of Conflict if you want to do your one true champion type ordeal.
Yeah, I like that.
Wisconsin tried doing that for a while. I mean, this is like 20 years ago, maybe not. And it just never caught on because I think the kids who weren't quite as good didn't want to put their state title on the line because they had a good inclination that they were going to, in fact, lose. So that never, ever caught on.
Yeah, I can see that.
This person also said a round of applause to Juliana Ocampo for placing sixth at the Indiana Boys State Tournament. I think I saw that she was the first girl to ever place at Indiana State Tournament.
It's pretty tough. Off to do one state, one class state.
Next one is, how are y'all adjusting to FRL without having a computer in front of you? I'm still trying to get used to it myself.
It's fine. I'm actually surprised how seamless it's been for me. I was like, oh, is it? Because I don't really think I was using my computer as a crutch that often, but I sort of wondered if I did. And I was like, well, I'll find out when I do the show. And it's been okay. Now look, I've got note cards.
This guy, pen and paper.
Wrote on it.
Wait.
You can't really read it.
You have note cards?
I have one.
What's on that note card? Talk trash to Ben.
That's pretty much it. I'm not going to show my handwriting because it looks like baby. Worse than a baby's.
I just go off the dome because I'm like super smart.
Yeah. There you go. That's an option too.
I don't know. This one is, any update on Bryce Andonian? I'm asking
ACCs.
That to you as well.
ACCs, yeah.
Okay. What's more likely? Iowa ends its streak and has no NCAA finalists, or Iowa has two finalists?
I think it's more likely they don't have one. Because who's the two?
Real and Drake, or maybe.
That's what I was saying. I was saying
maybe Frannick or Caliendo.
I think
other finalists.
Caliendo's kind of a long shot at this point.
Long shot. I think Frannick looks like a long shot to make the finals. We're talking about the finals. That's Saturday night activities.
Yes. Saturday night.
Saturday.
I think it's more likely they don't have either. They don't have a finalist.
Yeah. I would say.
It says, does Ben endorse the Mizzou two-piece uniforms?
That kind of got like a popular push, like we're going to do this. And it just never caught on I don't know. It just can't catch on.
Yeah, I'm team two-piece.
You love it still?
Love it. Yeah, absolutely.
I think our Who's Number One two-piece things are sick.
They're fire. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, but kids don't like them. I mean, that's one of those things where it's like, you got to kind of fight your battles, and I feel like we tried to fight that battle, and we lost, so it's just like, I'm not going to waste any more time or energy.
Can I counter with kids don't like them because the norm is wearing a singlet, so you become different if you wear a two-piece, whereas if everybody were to switch to a two-piece...
At the youth level or something?
Well, yeah, just in general, like, it would be better long term, because there are no doubt people on the fringe who think singlets are very weird.
Yes,
you're wearing a leotard.
You're right on that one.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't even want to get into this.
Yeah,
I just get so sick of, I like it would, if I go here, it's like,
then you always get people who are like, well, if they think they shouldn't be wrestling anyway.
Hardo dads, coaches.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
I think we all feel the same way.
Yeah.
I
mean, I think there's a reason jiu-jitsu went to like rash guard.
Why don't they wear singlets?
Singlet.
Are those guys not tough enough?
They never started. They started with a gi.
Yeah, but then now no gi.
I think no gi could be singlets.
They went with a rash guard instead of a singlet.
This one says, who's winning coach of the year? And Jeff Johnson says, and why is it Arisman?
I don't know. I feel like he'll have to. I think it's not yet for Neil.
Have a decent showing in NCAA.
Yeah. If they could put a guy or two on the podium, but it feels like Damian to me right now.
Oh, I don't hate either.
They're
one of
pushing
those
for their highest.
They're both doing a great job.
Their highest finish, SDSU, their highest finish at NCAAs was 2018, and I believe it was 13th. And they're ranked 14th right now. So
they could definitely do it though, because they got a lot of bullets. Sloan could place high, Berge, DeVos, Kale Carlson's solid.
And right now Kale's like 20 something, so he could definitely, you know, outplace what he's getting in the rankings points right now.
Yeah, Tanner Jordan's tough. Kale DeVos is good. They could do it.
In a couple of years, how will Yanni's win over Shane Van Ness look? Because in my opinion, Shane Van Ness will win multiple national titles. That's from Slink on Twitter.
I don't know.
I mean, at the time,
I think if anyone that has context of that win will not look at it that way.
But we oftentimes don't when you get to 30, 40 years down the line, when we look back at brackets and we're just like, oh my goodness, this guy beat this guy. We don't have the context because we weren't there. We just know, oh, this guy went on to be a 3-time champ.
You guys realize Yanni beat Dean Heil as a true freshman with a torn ACL. Like, that's what he did. He beat Sammy Sasso, he beat Joey McKenna, Bryce Meredith.
Yeah,
Van Ness may go on to win national titles, but he wasn't that guy that year.
And I agree. I'm just saying we lose context.
Yeah, I feel that way.
We lose context the farther removed from the situation we get.
I maintain context forever.
Yeah, but you like don't have context for like the 70s.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my god.
Instead, how many times did you guys almost cry during FRL 1000? Christian, did you get emotional at all during that show?
I actually didn't, and I'm a crybaby for sure. I didn't. I was literally just having fun. I thought Ben got a little emo, a little sudsy.
What?
When you played.
I mean,
when you played the clip.
What?
Of Ben saying like, hey, talking about youth parents, and then the way the programs. I was like, a little emotion for Ben here.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to getting emotional, but I actually don't feel like it happened on the show. No, but I'm not opposed to it.
You cried, Ben. Somebody, it's okay.
I mean, listen, dude, sometimes you look back at things with an amount of gratitude of like, holy F, I thought this, I thought I could make this happen. I thought this could happen. And then this happened, and you're like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah. I did not almost.
You know what happened? When it happened for me is like when I was my book, I wrote my book and then I had to record the audiobook, and there's this one line that was like in the end, and I couldn't freaking get through it without crying.
Oh, man.
It took me like freaking 10 times. Like just when I read it, I'll tell you what it was. I probably won't remember the exact verbiage of the book, but it was essentially saying like, yes, there were some things I wanted to accomplish, which I came up short of. But if my 10 or 11 year old self could look into the future and see what I was able to accomplish, given where I was at, I think he would have been so excited or so proud of it. You know,
that's great. Aww.
I saw you cry when you got tased too, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's when you got. I had a little lip quiver.
I had producer Nikki in my ear telling me that Christian for sure teared up during that show. So.
Pull the clip. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think I did. Oh yeah, find it. Pull the footage. Have you prove wrong?
That's all. Also, this person wants to know who's going to take Ben's place. Nothing can fill the hole that Ben will leave in our hearts.
No, I don't know.
Probably Ollie. I think Ollie.
Definitely not Ollie.
two equal wrestling minds.
Sion will be full time FRL.
Yeah.
Yes, that'll be awesome.
I don't know what we'll do.
You don't want Sion full time. Sion is phenomenal.
Yeah.
In little doses.
He's a role player. He's an energy guy off the bench. Get him the ball. He's going to sink a couple threes. He can't play defense. Sit him down. That's it. It's all about usage.
Hey. Speaking of basketball, can someone explain to me, because I don't know, but Shane Sparks was quite fired up. He said the All-Star game may be the biggest embarrassment in sports history. Yes, in sports history. That was played garbage. What a sad, sad night for the NBA. What was that? A horse tournament would have been better than that sloppy mess.
What's a horse tournament?
You know, the game horse?
Okay.
Horse is playing basketball.
He's talking about actual, like, a horse tournament.
Horse basketball.
Basically, they just don't try.
Yeah, it's an exhibition game. Well, I mean, it's the worst travesty in sports. What about like all like the rigged sporting events and stuff, Shane?
But nope, that kind of was rigged if they were trying.
Well,
right?
It's not a real game. There's no stakes. It's just
the Globetrotters.
It's just like an exhibition game. Yeah, do not let Shane watch a Globetrotters game. we may lose him forever. He may become one of those like reverse roadies where he just hate follows the team around the country and just like rants against the Globetrotters everywhere they go around the country. Do not let him see the Globetrotters. He'll be angry.
It's not tough enough for Shane.
Not tough enough. What else we got?
No more questions.
No more questions? Well, it is 9:50.
I have a personal question.
Okay.
I want to know what you guys think.
Personal question.
Let's say Zane Rutherford makes the Olympic team at 65,
mm-hmm.
doesn't medal at Olympics. Mm. Could he come back up to 70 kilos, wrestle at World Championships?
No Olympians, I thought.
Hmm.
Is that an American rule or is that a UWW rule?
I thought that was a UWW rule.
I think it is a UWW rule. Yeah, you might be right, JD.
I mean, that would make sense.
I got to go back and, I guess, read all the bylaws, but I thought it was no Olympians can compete at this.
Yeah.
How late is it? Is it like in November again?
October.
Like
October, it's Halloween.
Well,
28th through
31st. Okay.
Isn't that, I thought Halloween's like the last day of.
Yeah, the 31st.
I thought it was 18th through the 21st.
I thought Halloween was like the last
I thought
last
it was the 28th through the 31st.
No,
it's not the 31st.
It's not a week-long tournament.
I thought it was the 28th through the 31st.
Yeah, you just said 28th through 31st.
I thought it was 18th through 21st.
Oh,
it is.
I probably just read it wrong. 18th through 21st.
I remember reading in our Slack that you said 28th through 31st, but maybe JD was wrong. Doesn't ever happen, really.
Doesn't happen, so.
It's true, it doesn't happen, so. We can definitely the last few days of October.
Oh, I'll say on the FRL co-host thing, I don't know. I think we have a lot of very capable people here at Flow Sports. Not on the wrestling team or, like, over here, but, no, I'm just kidding. I'm seeing probably
Keith Gothard is in the chat swearing that he will be doing the FRL intro with you one day.
He's on the short list, absolutely.
Tyler, are you team there's an asterisk next to non-Olympic weight world champions?
No way.
No.
Good.
I'm not.
Okay. We would have had to beat you up.
I think it's...
I don't think there should be, but I think there becomes one by the informed fans.
Well...
I don't care. Just, they're losers.
We say, I mean, when we talk about Logan Stieber, a lot of times it gets mentioned.
Man, his bracket was tough.
I know. You're preaching to the choir here, but it still gets mentioned.
It does.
I'm not.
Yes, but
asterisks.
But he could never, he never made a team.
Yeah, he did.
When he made a team when all there were all 10 weights.
Yeah.
And those Olympians were trying for
2018 Final X. That's where you beat McKenna.
You're right, you're right.
So,
No asterisks.
Logan, no asterisks. Forgotten goats of wrestling.
Because a lot of people, I mean, dude.
It's wild how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with Olympic weights, man, there's so many people who just get screwed over by like how separated a lot of the weights are.
And I'll say especially 61 kilograms. Like, not all weights are created equal. That is true.
70 also. 70 gets screwed.
Like 92... Yeah. You normally have a little more weight to either, it's a little easier to put on or a little easier to drop down. It's such a high percentage of your.
Some people that get stuck between 74 and 86 are in a tough spot too.
Yeah.
That one also.
79 is tough. Anyway, I think we got to go. It's like 10.
Yep.
It is 10.
Go. We got to go. Ben has to go, literally. Thank you guys so much.
I'm
going to
pee my pants.
We'll be back Thursday. Back in our regular schedule, we'll be talking Iowa, Oklahoma State, talking what other the other thing.
Iowa State, Missouri.
Iowa State, Missouri.
Virginia Tech, NC State. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
It's a fire weekend of dual meet activities. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back then. Thank you to Tyler, JD, and Ben, and you for listening. Thanks. See you next time. Goodbye.